Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Crossland, Corsa and Mokka. Three good reasons to visit the Opel Open Road event.
Isn't that true? Answer the question. Answer the question. Answer the question.
Nobody's smoke screening. Nobody doing. Perhaps if you stop waffling. If you stop waffling, we might get some work done. They're a waffler. There have been years around here waffling.
That's the former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern when he was finance minister replying to Gay Mitchell across the Dáil chamber in December 1994. A few weeks ago, the Taoiseach and Alan Kelly strongly clashed in the Dáil over an off-mic conversation. Alan Kelly accused the Taoiseach of calling him a liar, while the Taoiseach told the Labour leader to cool it, and he said he'd completely misconstrued what he'd been told. Well, we've heard bad language, laughing and bawling during Dáil debates and rows, but which spats have stood the test of time and what Dáil speeches have provoked public debate? In the studio now, I'm joined by Lise Hand, journalist and commentator, and Johnny Fallon, strategic director with Car Communications, with their top picks. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
You're so welcome. We talk about that spat, Lise, firstly, between Alan Kelly and the Taoiseach. I think most people would say that they love a good row, but that really exploded, didn't it?
It did, yes. I mean, it was slightly unexpected. And the language and phraseology used, I mean, you know, sort of Micheál Martin turning around and saying to Alan Kelly, you know, I learned something about you yesterday that I will not forget and that will govern our relationship from here on. I mean, it was sort of like a long lost John B. Keane play, you know, the sort that sparks an intergenerational feud. So it was quite extraordinary. And I mean, it was quite a, to be honest, you know, it was a fairly minor spat. It should have been a fairly minor spat. It was literally who said what to who. Alan Kelly insists that in an off-mic conversation, a private conversation at all, the Taoiseach told him that teachers would be exempt from the new COVID rules about self-isolation. And Micheál strongly refuted this and denied this. And it really had an edge to it, and it really had a kind of a nasty sort of tone to it. And I think that speaks more, to be honest, Claire, not so much to do with any really personal animus between the two of them, but just the immense amount of pressure that the government were under on that particular week. I mean, that was when the wheels started coming off the cart big time.
Yeah, it just descended into becoming, it became very personal, Johnny, very quickly.
It did, yeah. And it's part of the thing that in politics at the moment, you have politicians and leaders dealing with something that they don't feel expert in. Like on any other issue in the normal course events, they feel quite expert on this. They're following advice all the time, and that advice seems to change every so often for them. But I think in particular for Micheál Martin, he has a tendency, first of all, to really have an affinity to portfolios he held as minister, like education and health. So he's quite eager to get into those areas and answer. And if you imagine, like, had anybody walked across the floor of the Dáil, Charles Haughey, and said to him, you know, so listen, does this apply to teachers? He'd probably be pointed very quickly down to the Minister for Education, don't bother the Taoiseach. Micheál Martin is much more open about that. And I think that's why Micheál Martin took offence about it. It's like, I could have just ignored you. I didn't. I tried to answer. But then Micheál Martin seemed to deny what Alan Kelly was saying. And that accusation, politicians and within the Dáil, once they think you're calling me a liar, it all explodes. And something that seemed very small is suddenly, it's my personal integrity. You know, it's nuclear war between the two.
Well, the next one we're going to talk about now involves Alan Kelly again, but it's really the Healy Rays who come out of this exchange on top. Perhaps we'll have a listen to this before we have a chat about it.
People living on fixed incomes and social welfare payments who rely on gas and electricity to heat their homes face a very worrying winter, Taoiseach. Social welfare rates, is it ever going to stop, Count Corlea? Every single day. Are you ever going to do anything about it?
You're doing a Roy Keane now.
It's just continuous. Enough.
For anyone. All I hear yapping.
Caricatures again.
If you don't mind, you're on business.
Two caricatures. Enough.
It's about the ringing phone, Lisa.
Yes. It's also the old Nokia ringtone that is particularly strident as well, and, you know, is fairly regularly goes off in the Dáil chamber. And again, you know, Alan Kelly was trying to make his point, this happens. And I think it was Mick Barry, the people before Profit Solidarity TD, who said, kind of said to him, oh, are you going to do a Roy Keane now? Which was, of course, a reference to Roy Keane hopping off a journalist in a press conference whose phone went off. And but, you know, you need to be really ready if you're going to take on the Healy Ray brothers, because immediately, of course, the accusation came back. Well, you know, who'd be ringing you? You do nothing for nobody. And you'd be better off sitting down and, you know, minding your own business. So, I mean, he was, I think that was probably Kerry won Tipperary nil now in that particular instance.
Yeah, there's a real skill to it, though, isn't there? To be able to, as you say, hop off somebody in the moment.
There is. It's having the wit and having the presence of mind at that moment to do it. But it's that thinking on your feet and alertness that makes the dull debates really come alive, because that's what we all look out for. Amid all the banal kind of civil service language that sometimes put in, it's that quick-witted response that some politicians, from Pat Rabbit to Michael McDougall, others like that, have been masters of, that really livens it up.
Well, let's hear some more now. Rows, we know, break out quite regularly over speaking rights in the Dáil. Here's one featuring the Healy Rays again and the then Fianna Fáil TD Mark McSharry back in 2018.
Have you a card?
Of course I have.
Show it to me.
Same issue.
Hold on, Deputy McSharry.
And we have Kofi.
Hold on, Deputy McSharry.
Up every day.
We have an issue.
That's outrageous.
I'm going to move on. Deputy McSharry, control yourself. Deputies, I will take action if it's necessary.
This is a disgrace.
I'll suspend the House.
Suspend it if you like.
Deputy McSharry, you want to people. I'll suspend the House for 5 minutes.
God, rows over speaking time.
Yeah, and it's a subject that exercises the TDs to a huge degree. And this was the spark by the introduction of speaking cards, whereby there were so many small groupings on the opposition benches that everybody wanted their word. So these were seen as a democratic way of doing it, handing out numbers so people would know what term they're, you know, what when their time was to speak. But again, the Doughty Healy Rays were up earlier than anybody else in the morning and seemed to always get to the number one and number two cards before anyone else did. They were usually left in a box at the top of the chamber. And this particular day, Sligo TD Mark McSharry took grave exception. I think he was clutching number 11 and could see that he had probably no chance of getting his word in. This particular session is very important for the opposition TDs because it's supposed to be linked to questions about legislation, but, you know, through torturous processes, they always manage to raise local issues by hooking it, you know, fairly with fairly little evidence to some piece of legislation. And it just kicked off big time. I mean, it really did. The two Healy Rays were on their feet pointing across the chamber. And, you know, there was a lot of sort of hold me jacket about it. And, you know, as you could hear, the Lascaillan Corda trying to keep order on it. And, you know, it's absolutely no avail whatsoever.
Well, Johnny, I'm going to talk to you about this next one, because when it comes to unparliamentary language in the Dáil, the most memorable example, I would argue, is Green Party TD Paul Gogarty, December 2009, when he took issue with the Labour TD Emmet Stagg.
I respected your sincerity, I'd ask you respect mine.
You don't seem very sincere.
Well, all due respect, in the most unparliamentary language, you, Deputy Stagg. You. I apologise now for my use of unparliamentary language.
Deputy Fogarty, that is most unparliamentary language.
It is most unparliamentary language. I now withdraw it and apologise for it. But I'm outraged that someone dares question my sincerity on this issue.
Still causes the intake of breath, doesn't it?
It does. It was just one of those few times, people do curse in the chamber every so often. And when you read the Dáil record back, you'll often see things like in the Dáil record, just interruptions. And we don't have to cover it because it's muttering and we'll say we didn't quite hear it. But this was one of the very few instances where it's said outright. And Paul Gogarty was one of a new Green Party TDs who'd kind of come into the Dáil, and they'd been throwing out the old guard and the old ways of doing things. And of course, that brings its own pressure, and it brought a lot of pressure. And he was under a lot of pressure, and there was a lot of sniping. And Paul Gogarty was one of those, he attracted a lot of criticism from the TDs within the chamber, you know, because he didn't suit their mould and everything else. And they began to needle him. And in this particular, the stress, the pressure they were under during that term in government, everything begins to come out. And when he hears Emmett Stagg saying, well, you don't seem very sincere, you don't seem like a very sincere person about this, he gets, and he's just had enough. And you can imagine that while some of the party colleagues weren't offering him great support, particularly from Fianna Fáil because of their own internal wranglings with them, at the same time, I would say there was a lot of them at that government felt like uttering those words to some of the criticisms that were being levelled at him.
I watched that clip back over and over again, and you could just see the frustration pouring from Paul Gogarty, probably for lots of different reasons, but don't forget it was 2009 as well.
Yeah.
Well, that was it, and you know, he did that trick of saying the word and then basically apologising immediately afterwards. And I think, if I recall, I was on the press gallery for that. I think he came back in later and pointed out that the term he used wasn't actually in the prescribed words, the banned words.
That's right. Yes, it wasn't even on the list. It was so bad.
Yeah, I mean, if he called him a corner boy, he would have been sent out in disgrace.
Now, let's talk about female TDs. What women can dominate the cut and thrust?
Well, I think, obviously, Mary Lou MacDonald has always been seen as a very able performer. And it's very difficult because the chamber is predominantly full of male voices, and it can get very kind of male shouty, and to be heard even in across that melee can be quite difficult. But you know, Mary Lou MacDonald has always had a good ability just to speak, you know, in fairly plain language, get directly to the point. She has a way of kind of needling some of the government benches as well. You know, a turn of phrase. She even, I think, quite recently congratulated Micheál Martin Taoiseach for mansplaining something to her. And but she's very good. But I think probably one of my favourite put-downs was actually one of her party colleagues, Louise O'Reilly, a few years ago in the middle of a row with, I think it was Niall Collins from Fianna Fáil. And there was a huge amount of shouting goes on. And she just said, I did not come in here to do what your mother should have done and put manners on you. Will you please allow me to speak? Which, of course, just completely took the wind out of everybody's sails. So women have to really, you know, they have to be on their toes and not be afraid to mix it. And, you know, again, Joan Burton was one who was also, she had an ability to get under the skins of the then Taoiseach Brian Cowan, and she was marking Brian Lennon, the late Brian Lennon, a lot as well.
And going back before that then, you had Mary O'Rourke. We're going to hear a clip now from Mary O'Rourke. Johnny, you might talk to us about this. The 6th of November 2001, Mary O'Rourke was the Minister for Public Enterprise at the time, and she faced a motion of no confidence.
What this trio are about today is the politics of the breakfast cereal. The solutions are easy and fast. Just add milk. How else could Snap, Crackle and Pop have managed to become leaders of their own parties?
I think that's one of these speeches the Minister has made today.
I challenge now Michael Noonan and Rory Quinn to any public debate, or the four of you together, to a public debate with me. Thank you.
See, the expectation is that the minister will defend themselves in their speech, but she just went for them, didn't she?
She just went for them. I mean, there's a formula to these speeches when you're in a no-confidence motion. I mean, the formula is you come in, you talk about your commitment to public service in general and your long years of working in that. You then defend your record and say, I did send the letter, I didn't send the letter, I took the decision, I didn't. You then say how it difficult it's been for your staff and your family, and then you move on to a couple of barbs and talk about the future. But in this case, she was so confident of winning, she was so confident in position, she attached her record to the speech but didn't go into her record, and then says, listen, I'm going on the attack here. And just to, without getting into the actual, which were quite personal attacks, but to go into some of the general stuff she talks about, and it's a you know, when you're talking about speech making, the rules of speech making, alliteration is really important if you want people to remember it. And so is the rule of three. And she talks about things like, you know, the opposition without courage or vision, indolent and led. She calls it inert, inactive and unable. She moves on to call them the tripartite of trite, a modesty, it's a modesty of mediocrity. And, you know, all the way through, she absolutely lambastes Rory Quinn, she lambastes Michael Noonan, and she says that the most important thing the Greens did in 20 years was decide they should have a leader, which Trevor Sargent had just been appointed leader. It was a ferocious attack, and in an era, I think, where, I mean, I know Mary O'Rourke many years, come back to my own constituency where she's from, and would have known her as a formidable woman at times in politics. But at the same time, I think in modern days, Mary has become well known to people, you know, commentary now, and she's you know, quite a fair commentator when she talks about things. But this was a formidable female minister in an era before women had really many compatriots on those benches who were standing up. So people like Maura Geoghegan Quinn and Mary O'Rourke, Nora Owen, were real trailblazers in a male world, you know, where they were accused of things because she'd been a teacher. There's a lot of, you know, she's a school marm approach was usually the first thing they like to say about women who've been teachers. They're immediately accused of being a school marm. Michael Noonan had been saying that she was playing with toy trains because she had been pictured with a Lewis line before it was ready or in bus. So, you know, she comes out with this absolutely powerful attack, in which case most of the men had actually left the chamber because such was the vitriolic rage they were being faced with. They decided to get out and have the cameras on their face, yep, taking this.
Trailblazing. What about the one-liners? Who's master of the one-liners? There's a list of people who are pretty good at the one-liners. Pat Rabbitt comes to mind.
Yeah, I mean, Pat Rabbitt was always one that had a zinger at his fingertips. I think I do remember being in one of the banking committees back in 2015, and he was being questioned again by, and it was Mark McSharry, and he just, I think it was his delivery. He came back with Mark McSharry and he was talking about, he said, a friend of his who was a small builder, or maybe more appropriately, I don't know how good he is at it, his father was a small builder. And then he sort of looked up and he said, and I notice sometimes, Senator, that talent skips a generation.
Ooh. Yeah.
And I mean, everybody just went, oh my God. I mean, you could nearly sort of see him picking the dagger out of his back on that one. And that, you know, that was a fairly classic Pat Rabbitt. And again, sort of going back to what Johnny was saying, it's the confidence he had delivering these lines. You know, he wouldn't just mutter them out. He would just wait until he had everybody's attention, mm-hmm, and then deliver them.
Yeah, all about how you deliver them. I want to talk a little bit before we finish, Johnny, about Joe Higgins, Socialist TD, and Bertie Ahern, Taoiseach, mm-hmm, at the time. Their relationship, I mean, the back and forth between the two of those, I mean, it was sharp enough, but it was entertaining too.
It was always entertaining because, of course, you know, they both being Dublin-based and, you know, at the time, Bertie Ahern was, you know, a leader of this party that had a huge electoral record, and yet Joe Higgins was coming in and taking a seat against the tide and all that. But one of the most interesting things, I think, was there was the whole debate about Bertie being a socialist, and that produced a great debate between Joe Higgins saying, I never knew you were kind of on my side. And he said, well, I've never been on your side. I'm more Michael D. Higgins' side of socialism. And all of that kind of debate went on. But I think one of the most memorable phrases was when Joe Higgins was complaining to Bertie Ahern about not getting answers and the Taoiseach not answering his question, that he goes all over the place but doesn't answer. And he said it was like playing handball with a haystack. You hit the ball, you hear a bit of a thud, but it certainly never comes back to you.
Well, let's leave the last word with Joe Higgins back in 2004. He thinks he's found a recent convert, as you said, to his socialist cause, even if he does have to share his wardrobe.
Concola was abroad for several days on political work, advancing the cause of socialism.
Did you have the government?
Yes, you can imagine, Concola, how perplexed I was when I came back to find my wardrobe almost empty. The Taoiseach had been in busy robbing my clothes. Now, I know up to recently the PDs hadn't a stitch left by the same Taoiseach. But we never expected him to take a walk on the left side of the street. And I thought first, good Taoiseach, there's two of us in it, we'll go down together.
Great stuff from Joe Higgins there. Elise Han, thank you very much for coming in, a journalist and commentator, and Johnny Fallon, strategic director with Carr Communications and also former Fianna Fáil advisor. Thank you both indeed. Let's take a break.